It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA Beautiful Studios, Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. We have a good show for you today. I want you to, you know, make note of this one. You're going to want to forward this off to your friends. As we get into the election cycle of 2010, there are some things that you need to be reminded of. Distraction, 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 distraction. But they don't want you to pay attention to some of the very important things, of which I am intimately aware of. I ran for Secretary of State in Arizona here in 94. I had 44 election laws I was challenging, and I went all the way to the Ninth Circuit. I got more Ernie election laws than I know what to do with. And I ran again in 2006 after, in 2004, enormous election fraud. It was so bad, there was competing election fraud at the county level and then at the state level with the program and the computers. And then they had, just again, 7 years ago, they had the Declaration of Independence, one of the actual broadsides, the printed document, tour around the country. And at the end of this tour, all the school children come in and everything. At the end of the tour, therefore, you get to vote on these election computers with a touchscreen and no paper and no audit trail and no checking. And we had a Declaration of Independence. We fought a country to be free so that you could vote on computers. So I'm going, wow, man, if they aren't selling this, pushy, pushy, pushy. Well, as we were doing all this, it's 2000, Al Gore and Bush, they had their little thing going on in Florida, 2004. You have Kerry and Bush, and some people were paying attention by then. Well, one of those guys is Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. And BradBlog, I remember when I first met Brad, heard of Brad. We were on the Air America affiliate here in Arizona, and we're covering a lot of stuff that he was doing. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, glad he's there. One less thing I got to do. Because somebody has to cover this stuff and document it and archive it, all the things that are happening. And there's so much of this stuff that a lot of us have been, you know, lawsuits, getting laws changed, going all kinds. I mean, it's a never-ending battle. I got you there, Brad.
You got me. How are you, Ernie?
You know, Brad, help get the audience up to speed. What got you motivated and how overwhelming this has gotten? Because someone such as you start diving into this and you're able to research it much better than we were 15 years ago before the internet. And all of a sudden, you're just deluged with information that you need to share with the audience. So go ahead and start on, man.
Well, yeah, you know, I was deluged in large part because I was one of the few folks, as were you, but, you know, one of the few folks who was willing to look into this matter, report this matter. I really came in earnest, so to speak, after the 2004 election, when there was, you know, these numbers coming out of Ohio, coming out of these other swing states, just made no sense. They didn't sync up with the exit poll numbers. Numbers had changed at the last minute, particularly in Ohio, and it clearly deserved some form of investigation. You know, I was not a Kerry supporter. I didn't vote for him. But, you know, I am a supporter of the notion that the person who receives the most votes should be the winner. So, which seems sort of an obvious thought to me, but when you take a look at the way the mainstream media dealt with this, New York Times and so many others, they didn't give a damn about who had the most votes. What they gave a damn about was who conceded and who declared victory. And in this case, it was George Bush declaring victory and, John Kerry living up to the wingnuts phony storyline about him, that he wasn't a fighter and that he was a capitulator. Well, he did capitulate less than 24 hours later. Well, that said, it was not John Kerry's election to concede. It was the American people's election, and I thought it was worthwhile giving a look at, you know, to figuring out what the hell happened. Did John Kerry really lose in Ohio and elsewhere? And that sort of, you know, brought me onto this, where are we now, six-year odyssey, taking a look at our election system in this country, what a disaster it is, how it has become more and more difficult for the citizens to actually oversee their own election system and determine who actually won and who actually lost. And these computerized systems that we use are absolutely insane. We have ceded control of our democracy to corporations who have secretly, who now secretly count our votes with software that we can't look at, with machines that we cannot verify, and even the ones that we can verify, we're not allowed to verify. We're not allowed to look at these machines. We're not allowed to, you know, count the ballots to make sure that the machines are actually accurate. And we've simply come to trust this system, and it is absolutely insane. And we see it time and time again in election after election. We hear computer scientists yelling and screaming, but unfortunately, doesn't seem like anybody's listening out there, does it?
Why? I mean, you would think this would be, you know, important information. It would be of interest to people. In fact, when you talk to them or you show them DVDs, right? I mean, even HBO did a program called Hacking Democracy.
Yeah.
And when that came out, you know, I mean, we're like going, well, at least it's going to be on record for a lot of people. But you didn't get the big giant uproar from people because I'm pretty sure I know why. I've been doing this for almost 20 years. It's because they already know.
What do they know?
That not to trust the system. You know, most people, I mean, if you have 100 people, you know, let's say you have 100 people represents all the people in this country,
mm-hmm.
only 75% maybe are even eligible to register to vote. They're of age, they're not a felon, they're a U.S. citizen, on and on and on. Yeah, 75% of the people are able to register. Half of them actually register. Then half of them actually vote. Then just over half of them actually on the winning side. So you got, you know, down in the single digits to 15% maybe determining
right.
everything for everybody. And a lot of them are just like, I get it. I know it's all rigged. You know, you have cable news networks are going screaming about whatever. And between all three, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, between all of them, maybe you're up to 2 to 4 million people out of 300 million. So to focus on the balloting in somebody's mind going, I don't trust the system anyway. Oh, it's corrupt. Well, you know, yeah, and?
and yet, Ernie, we saw how many hours devoted to the phony stories, to the phony voter fraud stories, to this entire Acorn pimp hoax, and it was a hoax from top to bottom. How many hours were spent on that, not just by Fox News, who certainly led the way, but also by CNN, by MSNBC, by the mainstream press, New York Times, who ran dozens of incorrect articles. I was finally able, after, you know, they've been reporting on that story for 6 months. I'd been after them for at least 2 months trying to get them to correct their record. They finally issued a partial correction about 2 weeks ago on the very same weekend that Acorn announced they were going out of business. So they apparently have time for these stories. They have interest in these stories when someone comes out and pushes them, when a political party comes out and pushes them. In this case, it was the right wing, it was the Republicans, it was phony, and yet everybody covered it. But when, election, serious concerns about election fraud, not the phony concerns about voter fraud, but the real concerns about election fraud, when those come up, people are not interested, the media is not interested, they call it conspiracy theory and nonsense, and we are stuck with these same machines that I promise you will end up blowing up again in our faces. And when they do, the question is, will anybody know, and will anybody do a damn thing about it? Because, you know, I've been running around with, as you know, my hair on fire for years, even going back to this, you know, this most recent special election out in Massachusetts between Scott Brown and Martha Coakley. You had machines that nobody bothered to check a single ballot to make sure the optical scan machines were actually counting those ballots properly. You mentioned Hacking Democracy on HBO. That film showed you they were actually there. The film crew was there the day, the first time, at least the first known time, that a Diebold optical scan paper ballot system was hacked in such a way that it flipped the results of the election such that no one would ever know it had been flipped unless the ballots had actually been counted and verified that the machines were counting them accurately.
This happens all the time. It's been happening. Yep. I was aware of it in the early 90s. But what do you do?
Well,
what do you?
We're
going into the break. We'll be right back here. Yep. Brad's going to tell us all about it here and Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and I got Brad Friedman from bradblog.com on the internet. The boys got it going on about this election fraud. That's another thing. All these guys, you go saying vote fraud, they want to slap you. It's not about voter fraud. It's about the election being frauded. So I want to give some background, and you know, Brad and I talk so you can understand, you know, where we overlap. We're not necessarily philosophically in tune all the way, are we, Brad? But we have one thing in common. You know, if we're going to have this election thing, if we're going to have this election thing, well, it better be accurate. I vote accurate, you know, if I got to vote. But the thing, you know, where are you philosophically on the scale here? You know, what's the difference between you and I? Where's our motivation on this?
You know what? You know, I don't think we are at odds as much as you might think, Ernie. In truth,
no, but the audience will think.
I'm in favor of calling people on the carpet, holding people's feet to the fire. You know, I don't think we're as different as you might think. But the bottom line is, you know, when you have an election, the person who gets the most votes needs to be the winner. And when you talk about, you know, these electronic systems, and you had mentioned in the previous segment that nobody, they don't care. The reason they don't care is because they know the system is rigged. Well, do they? Because it's a very serious question here that we're looking at. You, I know, were a big Ron Paul supporter. I suspect you're also a supporter of Rand Paul, who's running for the GOP nomination out there in Kentucky.
Not necessarily, but, you know, okay. I'd like the votes to be counted accurately.
Well,
just
that
for
seems like a good idea, doesn't it? Well, we've got a very serious concern out there in Kentucky. We've got it in every election, but where you've got Rand Paul facing off against the Secretary of State of Kentucky. He's running against Trey Grayson, who's the Secretary of State. It's already outrageous and absurd and ridiculous that the chief election official in that state, Trey Grayson, is going to be overseeing his own election against Rand Paul. That said, that happens all the time. It's insane. But that's the way this system currently works. Now, the problem is, you know, that might be okay if the citizens were able to oversee their own election to make sure that they were accurate. In the case of Kentucky, you've got an entire state, nearly, which uses touchscreen machines, which are 100% unverifiable in any way, shape, or form. It is absolutely impossible. It will be absolutely impossible after that election to know that even a single vote was cast accurately on one of those machines.
Okay, now, let's back up. Trey Grayson, Grayson, is that his name?
Grayson, yeah.
Okay, so we got Grayson, he's Secretary of State, Republican. Mm-hmm. We have Rand Paul starts, because I believe that seat is an incumbent that is not running, right?
That's Senator Jim Bunning.
Okay,
yeah.
And he's a Republican, though, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so you have an incumbent senator, Republican, not running, Rand Paul, Ron Paul's son, which is a doctor, or a, I think he's an eye doctor,
yes,
in Kentucky. I think he's at Bowling Green. He comes up, he runs, and he's playing, you know, the Republican thing. He gets endorsed by Sarah Palin. He kind of gets fuzzy on closing Guantanamo and military. He's playing Republican. So I'm as a libertarian, and I'm not getting all warm fuzzy, and you don't see me traveling to Kentucky. Okay.
Okay.
So I, you know, but, you know, if he's going to have an election, you know, what the heck, let's do an accurate election, let's focus on that. So I'm going, all right, well, during the Ron Paul primaries and such going everywhere, you know, I brought this up. I go, look, this is a, as far as I'm concerned, this is a psychological operation for me. This is a, you know, spreading the love. This is all about the love-olution. This is about getting that implanted in people's brains. I'm doing the John Lennon thing, man. You know, all we need is love. Give peace a chance. We're changing the mindset. I want to change a culture. All this voting and other stuff and where people spend their money and how they live their life is a side effect of a cultural change, of an understanding of sorts. So this election voting stuff, I've already convinced myself this is totally screwed up. So I don't see us manifesting our will or our preferences or anything on some government computer. I don't see that's going to happen. Okay. But pointing out how it's not going to happen because they control it, and you got private corporations that, you know, count like 80% of the ballots being counted by one company or two. So I'm just going, and then these guys are heavily in the pockets of. So I'm going, well, I got a problem. All right. So I'm glad that Brad's out there and a lot of other people, Black Box Voting, you got Bev Harris out there, you got other people doing stuff, you got movies being made, you have, I mean, it was America, Freedom to Fascism, Aaron Russo's movie we distribute a lot, has references to this. I know you've worked with a gentleman from Florida that brought a lot of this stuff out, was one of the actual programmers that did the hacking. I mean, you know, this, I get it. But the thing is that when it comes down to it, the more you can change the way people think about the proper role of government and their role in this country or in society in general, that's where I focus a lot of my time. That's why I, you know, the election fraud was enough for me to just convince myself. And then, of course, I share it with others. But what we're looking at is how are they doing it? What is the mechanism? Well, you have the ability to turn dials and do what you want on the planet. Well, the government, big bad boys, well, they wouldn't do that because that would be wrong. I mean, they'd lie us in the war. They'd murder. They'd do all kinds of stuff. They'd steal and embezzle, but they wouldn't do election fraud because then that would be wrong. Okay. So if you think they're not going to do it, well, then you're just being naive. If they can get away with it, they will. So what Brad has done and what I've convinced myself of is you go through, because I've been in lawsuits and I get it. Okay. We even got laws changed here that they go around and stuff. I understand how the system works. What they do is they go, okay, we're going to have an election, and we have Rand Paul coming up there, and it's like, you know what? We decided, heck no, we don't need another Ron Paul up there, all right? So what do? Who are they going to run against him? Oh, you were going to do the guy that actually runs the election? When has this happened before? You know, so I'm going, okay, so here we go. We got the guy that's running the actual election and knows how it works, that has the codes, a little floppy disk. You got to have democracy in Iraq. Why do we got to do that? Because it's a lot easier to control a country with a floppy disk than it is a tank. Okay, that's just the way we roll. So, all right, so we go, all right, we're going to have this election. All of a sudden, he's pulling in the ahead of everyone. Rand Paul looks like he's going to win the Republican nomination. If he wins the Republican nomination, he's probably going to be the next senator from Kentucky. Here comes the Secretary of State, Republican from Kentucky. Now, this guy's Republican, right?
Yeah, the one who's running. Yeah, it's the GOP primary.
So it's going into the primary. When is that primary?
May 18th.
Ooh, coming up pretty close.
Yes, sir.
So now here we have an election that's going to be done on computers. Now, what is the company? I'm just going to ask you a bunch of questions here, Brad.
Yeah.
Who is the company that has these computers in Kentucky?
Well, ESNS recently purchased Diebold. ESNS was the largest voting machine company in the country. Diebold was the second largest. ESNS merged with Diebold, and about a month ago, the DOJ announced that the merger was illegal and filed an antitrust action and a settlement that ESNS can't merge with Diebold. Actually, it's called Premier. Their voting division is Premier. They've now got to sell off that those assets they acquired from Diebold. But that said, of course, there's nobody to buy them, and so most customers are still going to go with ES&S anyway, even if they were previous Diebold customers. So they're largely Diebold machines now going to be run by ES&S in Kentucky.
Okay, now there's another little part of that story.
Yeah.
Is there any relationship between Diebold and ES&S?
Well, you're probably referring to the Yurosevich brothers, each of whom formed the original companies that became ES&S and then became Diebold Election Systems.
Yeah, so think about this. I mean, you have these two competing companies run by two brothers.
Well, that's right. And then you have ES&S, once they have taken over Diebold or all of Diebold's accounts, which is effectively what's going to happen, controlling 70% of the votes in this country. But now, when it comes to Kentucky and when it comes to Trey Grayson, it gets even worse.
It gets even worse, which we're going to find out when we come back here with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com on election fraud. Rand Paul up against Secretary of State in Kentucky. You pay attention. You're going to want to write some of this stuff down. Get ready. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me, cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star, leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity.
Yeah, a couple of the laws, if I can get away with it here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock and Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. You know, one thing I want to make sure that you guys understand is this isn't like stuff we think we know. This is stuff we know. Discovery, lawsuits, you know, stipulations, and what are you going to do about it kind of stuff. You know, I'm convinced. You know, I don't even got to convince you. I just got to, you know, just have you understand why I'm so convinced. Because, man, I so get it. And once you understand that, if the people are not able to accurately express their desires, their concerns, their support for any particular candidate or another. You know, I understood this back in the early 90s. You know, I'm taking 44 election laws all the way to the Ninth Circuit. And what was my motivation was I go, oh, I get it. They eliminate opposition before it starts. Ballot access laws, restriction, third parties, independent voting, all the benefits and free databases and taxpayer-funded, you know, primaries and all this stuff that goes to the parties for tens of millions of dollars that you get to have their conventions funded by a taxpayer. Why? Because they write the laws. That's why. So you go, all right, cool. You know, we'll challenge all this stuff. But then it comes down to, dang it, man, especially with the internet and stuff, they can like communicate with people and everything. It's really getting difficult for us to maintain control on the peoples. So what do? Well, we just got a dial we turn. You know, say whatever you want. We got a dial. Okay. So we want to have it verified. You want to use computers. All right. Well, then we want to have a paper backup. We want to take the paper, randomly select a few precincts or district or whatever, and we'll just count it by hand and compare what the computer says. What did the computer say? What did the paper say? That is illegal in so many states. It sure as heck was here in Arizona until recently. And then they don't enforce the laws that we got changed. And the reason is because if you compare the paper with what the computer says, you find that they're sometimes not in agreement. Brad, what do you think?
Well, they're almost always not in agreement, but I'll put it even, let me put this in even clearer terms for you, because it's not, I don't talk much about election fraud unless I can actually prove that an election was, you know, defrauded. What I talk about is the ability for the citizens to oversee their own elections, to oversee their own democracy, to make sure that, in fact, the votes are counted accurately. This cannot be done, certainly cannot be done with any touchscreen, whether it has a quote-unquote paper trail or not, as some of them do. Those are 100% meaningless, never mind the fact that nobody ever actually bothers to count them. But even if they did, there's no way to know that what is on that little paper trail is actually what it was that the voter had intended to vote. Now, when you've got the optical scan systems where you do have the a means to know that you're actually recording the voter intent, nobody bothers to count those ballots. Even, as you said, you know, counting a few of them after an election, that's not sufficient. That's not democracy. That's not, you know, self-governance. you know, we have these elections, we have these ballots that are hand-marked in many cases. Let's count the damn ballots and then determine who it was that actually won or lost an election. So to me, you know, I don't care whether election fraud has been committed. It can be committed, and it will be committed, you know, unless the people are able to, you know, gather their eyeballs and make sure, unless you've got 100% transparent elections, that the people can make sure that they're actually accurate. And when it comes to Kentucky, where we were talking about the Rand Paul, Trey Grayson GOP primary coming up in May, Kentucky has a tremendous history, a years-long, decades-long history of election fraud, and just last week we saw eight top high election officials down in Clay County, Kentucky, which includes one of the most Republican districts in a very Republican state. The high election officials included the county clerk, the circuit court judge, the school superintendent, who had all been involved in a scheme over decades to buy and sell votes and, in 2006, manipulate the voting machines, the ES&S touchscreen machines that they used down there in Clay County, Kentucky. They were actually going in and changing votes directly on those electronic machines. They were finally caught, and the jury just found them guilty of all charges. That's the good news, but the bad news is, you know, I suspect it was not an isolated incident in this one corner of Kentucky, and whether it was or wasn't, the question is, can the people know? And that's what this fight is about. It's about transparency and self-governance, which I hope makes even more sense to you and your libertarian way of thinking here.
You have to understand, my libertarian way of thinking is the only purpose of government is defense of individual rights. This voting mechanism, this republic that we're supposed to vote for using a democratic process, is still chained down by the Constitution. And, you know, so I get at a much more fundamental basis. But what they use for legitimacy is the vote. They say, we are legitimately, rule you. We have these laws. We have these guys go around with uniforms and shiny badges and uniforms and the always available gun telling us that, oh, by the way, your kid's got to go fight in some war over here, or we need your property here, or we need what, all that legitimacy that they claim comes from the vote. If the vote is demonstrated to be inaccurate, if the vote is demonstrated to be fraudulent, if the vote has any of those traits, well, then the whole tapestry of crap falls apart.
Yep.
So I'm going, okay, so that's where you and I overlap. I'm going, all right, let's I want to know the legitimacy of these guys.
Yep.
So let's go through the process on actually how these machines work, because each state and county used to have a lot of different machines. Now they do the HAVA, a Help America Vote Act, which was really We're Going to Screw the People Act, and we knew this going in. In fact, Barry Hess, gubernatorial candidate here, he's a popular libertarian candidate here. When he ran for governor in 2002, that put him up. Yeah, we're going to get Barry on our board for this HAVA, Help America Vote Act. It's going to be, we're going to say that we want this criteria and this criteria and accuracy of this and that. And I knew what they were going to do. It was going to make it easier for them to commit election fraud. So as we looked at and asked the right question, I go, Barry, man, take a look at this. He was the only HAVA board member in the entire country of 50 states that voted no. The only one. And the reason was, is because he knew what was going to happen. Well, there were people here. I had the Guttenkopf brothers on this morning, in the morning show. We're doing some stuff. And they were very instrumental in all the lawsuits that were doing a lot of the stuff and the work that you've been doing now. We've been doing in the mid-90s. And they were the ones that wrote the legislation that was passed here in the 06 election, for the 06 election, by Karen Johnson, a conservative right-wing Republican.
Yep.
That had been through this election fraud when she was supporter of Pat Buchanan in 96. So she made sure this got up and it passed. And Janet Napolitano even signed it because of the pressure from the people on accuracy of this thing.
Now, do you think, by the way, Jan Brewer would have signed it?
Heck no.
Because she was the Secretary of State at the time.
No, I sued her in special action, Arizona Supreme Court. But you see, that's not, and she may have, if she was in there.
She fought that.
Tooth and nail. But so would the Politano have if she didn't know she had Jan Brewer covering her? Because what they did is they passed it, and then there was a couple little things that she had to do as Secretary of State that she just, I didn't get to it. And I'm going, really, I know what you guys are going to do. You can try and get expiration of some of these things required in the law. So I had to file a special action in Supreme Court to get them to do their job. But the thing is that it's always something like this. It's always, now, the mechanism for actually voting in Kentucky, they're going to be using what kind of machine? And we'll talk about this, you know, paper receipt thing later, but is it going to produce any kind of paper?
No, it produces no paper. They have most of the voters will use touchscreen voting systems across the state of Kentucky.
Okay, so next question.
Yeah.
Let's assume that it did have a piece of paper that came out. Look, here's a piece of paper. Does that mean anything?
Meaningless. 100% meaningless.
Oh, they got two pieces of paper.
The voter actually voted the way that piece of paper prints out.
Okay, I got another thing. They say, oh, no, it's two pieces of paper. You get to keep one, and then they have one later for them to count later. They got a second piece of paper. Is it any better?
No, that's a bad idea. That's a horrible idea. You don't want to do that because that leads to vote buying, vote selling. You don't want to walk out of there with evidence of how you voted.
That's a good point. I never thought of that. Okay, so then we have some kind of record that they go through. Now, here we already know this because they just did a movie called Fatally Flawed on an election here in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie?
I did.
And, you know, that was really, I mean, some of the guys that are deposing on this, sweating bullets. They knew, and then the guy, attorney general here, that's supposed to, you know, protect us, running for governor, is a Democrat here, and he was right hip deep in this thing.
Yep.
So, I'm, you know, here we go again. But we'll talk about the actual voting mechanism and what's wrong with it. Brad, walk us through that.
I will.
We come back
here on Trey Grace, and I want to make sure to
hear. Just a little bit. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
It's more than a feeling here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and my friend Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. That's a little bit of factual information. And one thing I want to get right to is that in Kentucky, we have the Republican Secretary of State, incumbent there as Secretary of State, running against Rand Paul. Now, the one thing that's of interest to me is that Trey Grayson is Secretary of State. He certainly has had controversy presented to him and said, hey, these things, man, they got problems. So it's not like a big secret to him. And he's just kind of waved his hand and say, no, pay no attention to this. Because they'll talk about, okay, just to make you people shut up, we printed paper. Here's a little paper. It says that don't mean nothing. All right, we got two pieces of paper. That don't mean nothing either. Because what's reported to the tabulation center, what that computer said, don't have nothing to do with what's printed on pieces of paper. It's whatever they want it to be. And then they can change it whenever they want, and they can erase the tracks that they changed it. So this is, all this stuff is, it don't mean nothing. And if you, I want pieces of paper and pens, man. Pencils. Heck, you know, give me a purple thumb and I'll put it next to, you know, people's names that I want, a fingerprint or something. I mean, you know, give me, you know, let's get it where it's accurate and can be verified. Well, they're not going to do that. Why? Because they don't have to. Why? Because, I don't know, what are you going to do? Vote to make them do it? I mean, how do you do this? So let's go ahead and go through this process of what's available in Kentucky. People can go in and expect they're going to go up to a computer screen and push a portion of that screen that says, I want this guy.
Yeah, you can. Most of the votes in Kentucky will be on touchscreen systems, where you can select your candidate. The machine will either record it or not. You will have no idea whether it records it accurately. There is, by the way, no paper trail printout even on those machines that they have down there. I believe you guys do in Arizona on your touchscreens, but in Kentucky, there is no paper trail whatsoever. It is 100% faith-based voting. push the button and presume the voting machine company records it accurately or not.
Well, how do you check it, though? I mean, how after an election, there's no way. I challenge it. The Supreme Court says, I demand a recount. You're going to recount what? Push the total button again?
You're going to push the same button that you pushed the first time and get the computer printed results. End of story. There is no recourse, which is why, you know, and particularly when it comes to Kentucky and Trey Grayson, one of the things that Trey Grayson was accused of back in 2007 that we reported back at bradblog.com at the time was that he was notified by Diebold that machines that they were using in at least one county, I believe it was Jefferson County, were not certified, that they were not legal to even use them. And Trey Grayson basically lied about it and said, oh, I know nothing about that. And they're still using those machines. This was the Attorney General contacting the Secretary of State, trying to warn him about this, trying to get some of the safeguards put in place that California put in place when Secretary of State Deborah Bowen did a full top-to-bottom review of all the electronic voting machines and found all of them could be hacked down to the tabulator level in about 60 seconds by a single person without discovery. That is what folks are going to be voting on in Kentucky. It's 100% faith-based voting. Now, what I have said, what I've tried to advise that Rand Paul do now, and by the way, I would also advise any candidate in Kentucky or anywhere else, including Trey Grayson, including the Democrats who are running, to get to a court right now and get a judge to issue an order that says that the memory cards that are used on these machines, and these memory cards, this is where the definition, the program definition for the ballot itself is stored, as well as the results of voters' votes, theoretically. And this is really, you know, one of the easiest ways to get in and manipulate the system is via those highly sensitive memory cards. Right now, Rand Paul or anybody running in Kentucky or elsewhere needs to get to a court of law and get that judge to say, yes, the memory cards, the hard drive chips inside these computers must be retained as per federal law for 22 months after the election, because an election, they say, you know, there's a federal law that says you have to retain all the election materials. Well, these memory cards are never retained, and it's insane, because if there's any question about the election, you're probably going to find any traces of manipulation or anything else on those memory cards. But what they do right now is they get the results off of them, and then they erase them and prepare them for the next election. It is absolutely insane. So if Rand Paul or his supporters want to proactively try to do something about this, they'll get in there right away and make damn sure that those memory cards must be saved, sequestered for 22 months, so that if there's any question, they can go back to those memory cards. In the meantime, if you're in a jurisdiction in Kentucky where you have to vote on a touchscreen machine at the polling place on election day, don't do it. If you can, get an absentee ballot and vote by on paper, by hand, and try not to mail that ballot in, but actually bring it in to the county jurisdiction if you can. That's your best shot at actually having an accurate vote counted in Kentucky. Other than that, it's, you know, up to the corporate gods who gets to win that election.
You know, this is a lot of people don't understand how voting is done in their particular area, and it changes all the time anyway. And if you're doing the one local election or county or school district, I mean, they just keep doing all kinds of stuff. In fact, here in Arizona, they tried to make it to where you can have no more than two elections a year, and you have certain things that come up every month, you know, so they'll just flood you with all this, we're going to spend your money stuff. Well, here in Arizona, we have what's called optical scan. Now, it keeps changing. You know, most recent optical scan, you got a big sheet of paper, and you have the front of an arrow and the rear of an arrow, and you fill it in between the two to go, okay, this is the guy that I want. Well, this is paper, and these are big, 11 by 17 sheets or so. You know, they're bigger pieces of paper. Okay, I got the paper. I run it through the Scantron. It scans it. It totals. It goes in that memory card that you're talking about, but you have the paper. In 2004, they had an election that was close. Here in Arizona, if you're within 2% or 50 votes or something like that, you have an automatic recount. They go and recount the ballots, and all of a sudden, 470-something new votes come in for the other guy, and he wins. Well, then they go, oh, we got to have, you know, a lawsuit, and they go back and forth. And they kept going back and forth and back and forth. And what they realized is there was competing election fraud. There was computer election fraud on one part, and somebody was switching out ballots and adding and jerking around at the county elections part. So they're going, you know, we just keep running these through again. Well, a senator here named Senator Jack Harper said, you know what? I got a solution for this. I'm going to do a Senate subpoena on the actual ballots. We'll just bring them into caucus room here. I mean, how many are there? They're not that many. We're just doing one little legislative race here. We'll just count them right here. Problem solved. And they all know you can't do it back and forth. Fine. The Senate subpoena, give me. Within hours, the FBI went down to the county treasurer's office and got those ballots where they were supposed to be stored. Then they couldn't find them. Oh, they're over at, you know, in the storage thing at Sky Harbor. They're not in the vault. They're in, you know, all this stuff was going on. They did this, Senate subpoena. I want them right here on my desk, FBI, for not even claiming jurisdiction in a state race. The F freaking BI comes in, takes those ballots. They're gone. Gone, never heard about them again. And the county elections department was happy to be rid of them. Now, you know, hey, man, some guy came in with an FBI badge, took them, a problem solved. And I'm going, do we get it now? Do we get it now? Well, legislation got passed for the 06 election. I'm running for Secretary of State then, making a big stinking deal out of it. It was so obvious what's going on. But what do you do about it? So you had the paper. It is illegal for you to take that paper and count it and then compare it with the computer. Illegal. Why? Why is it? And they did this law back in 94 and so on. I was running for Secretary of State in 94 against the Speaker of the House, the Republican, and the President of the Senate, the Democrat. And I'm going, look, of course I think there's election fraud. They passed legislation making it illegal for you to find it. How much proof do you need? So that's what we're operating under now. You're never going to get the actual ballot and compare it with a computer. If you're lucky, they will have you going back to paper ballots that they're going to actually vote on and count. If you ever get back to that, but the only way to get back to that is through an initiative that you have to vote on their computers for or getting these elected officials to do.
Yeah.
So how screwed are we, Brad?
We are way screwed, but you know, I'm not going to let that get me down. We're going to, you know, keep taking steps. And as a matter of fact, in Arizona, you guys are lucky. You're out there in Arizona. You got one of the best election integrity groups in the country working together down there, particularly down there in Pima County, you know, fighting for transparency, fighting to be able to count their own votes. And in fact, they've gone to court and they've had some great victories down there. They actually had to go to court down in Tucson, Pima County, to get the judge to agree that those the data records that are produced by the election are actually public records that the people are allowed to look at. Up till now, they've said, oh, that's a trade secret too, the way that people voted. The people can't actually see how those are done. So there are steps that you can take. We talk about them at bradblog.com. The folks down there at Audit AZ are doing a great job in Arizona. Blackboxvoting.org. You have to get informed. You got to raise some hell. You got to make some noise. These are the issues that I believe, and I hope you agree, are the ones we need to be fighting for.
Hey, no, there's a lot of issues. Hey, are you able to hold over into the next hour?
Sure, I'll hold for you.
Okay, you know, we got Brad Blog from bradblog.com, Brad Friedman. And, you know, there's so much more stuff going on that we don't think we know, we know. So what do you do about it? Is this election thing even worth participating in? If so, why?